A new report to be released today by the Productivity Commission takes a look at imprisonment rates across Australia, and the short summary is that even though crime statistically is going down across the country, imprisonment rates are climbing. They're at historic highs, in fact, as this Productivity Commission report found. As always, on The King Review, I like to dig a little bit deeper into topics, go a little bit beyond the headlines, and actually talk about, well, what are the causes of some of these big issues facing our region, and what are some possible solutions? A man very keen to talk to about that exact topic in terms of those imprisonment rates. It's Commissioner Stephen King from the Productivity Commission. No relation, also not the famous author, but welcome to the show, Stephen King.
Glad to be here, Gavin.
Now, this report, a really in-depth report, it looks at all states and territories in the country. Just give listeners, Stephen, a quick overview of some of those findings in that report released today.
The key underlying statistics are that the imprisonment rate Australia-wide, so that's the number of people in prison per 100,000 adult population, so it's population-adjusted, that's doubled since the late 1980s. If we just look at the last decade, so 2008-09 to 2019-20, it's gone up by about 25%. So that suggests a crime wave, but in fact, the statistics show the exact opposite. So whilst the imprisonment rate's gone up at 25% in the last decade, the offender rate, so the number of individuals that police are taking to court for prosecution, that's dropped by about 18%. So how have we got more people in prison but less crime? And this is an Australia-wide trend. It's affecting every state and territory, including Queensland.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And so some good comments I saw that you had made around this report, just talking about, look, obviously violent, high-risk offenders need to be jailed for the protection of the community. No one doubts or disputes that. But you did raise the interesting point about, well, there's this huge cohort of prisoners who are low-risk. Now, for whatever crime, and perhaps we'll go into what's defined as a low-risk offender, your findings on the rates of imprisonment, and particularly the repeat offending rate for those low-risk type of offenders.
We need to make it very clear right at the outset. Around 58% of people in prison Australia-wide are in there for violent offences. So, prisons are protecting Australian society from these types of offenders. But there's also a significant number of people in prison who are sort of on a treadmill. They often are involved in multiple minor crimes. The sort of thing is minor thefts, some property damage. Sometimes it can be drug possession, clearly not drug trafficking, which would be a much more major crime. But they're in the situation where they're in prison, often for less than 6 months. 35% of prison sentences are for less than 6 months. So they're short-term in prison. They get out of prison, often still drug and alcohol problems that haven't been treated, or they may have untreated mental illness. They may have been homeless when they came to prison, and they're released back into homelessness when they leave prison. So unsurprisingly, they commit more minor crimes. They end up back in prison. And 60% of people who are in prison have been there before. So what we're really asking is, are there alternatives that will keep the community safe, but help get these individuals off what, from a taxpayer's perspective, is a really, really expensive treadmill of prison crime.
Well, let's talk about that. The cost is absolutely astronomical. You find here in this new report about, on average, $330 per prisoner per day, $330 per prisoner per day, for a total cost to taxpayers of more than $5 billion per year.
Yep, that's exactly right. Now, again, obviously, a significant number of those prisoners need to be in prison, so we're not talking about saving $5.2 billion. But if we just kept the imprisonment rate constant for the last 20 years, rather than having it go up at the rate it has, Australia would have saved in total about $13.5 billion. So we are talking, over time, big bickies here from the point of view of taxpayer funds.
Very, very big dollars indeed. I'm speaking here with Commissioner Stephen King from the Productivity Commission. Stephen, let's look now to possible solutions. Talk to us about what you found in the report around what are some alternatives.
Really, the alternatives fall into three groups: keeping low-risk prisoners out of prison in the first place, and some programs that can do that are things like diversion programs. So particularly for people who, first-time offenders, trying to keep them with a clean record and giving them a bit of a wake-up call. Mm. So that's the first group. Second group are those who we need to make sure that they're getting some punishment, an appropriate punishment for their crime, but low risk to the community, and looking at things like home detention with electronic monitoring, community corrections orders, possibly tied in with programs in the community. So, for example, if there's issues of mental ill health in there, they remain in the community, being appropriately supervised and monitored, but also being required to participate in medical programs so that they can improve their own health. Mm-hmm. And that will help them fit back into society and not reoffend. So they're the sort of things that we're talking about, really support plus appropriate punishment in community. Mm-hmm. And these types of alternatives, again, I hate to play the economist, but the Productivity Commission are a group of economists.
That's right.
They mean big savings for the taxpayers. So we were looking at about $330 per day to keep a person in prison. Mm. When you're looking at, say, a community corrections order with supervision and potentially some programs to help make sure that they don't reoffend, you're looking at about one-fifth to one-tenth of that cost. Mm, mm. So you're saving literally hundreds of dollars per prisoner per day. Mm. And these are low-risk prisoners, so there's going to be little risk to the general community from these sorts of alternatives.
And what's next, Stephen, out of this report? I mean, government, are you hopeful that there are things that they will adopt?
Yeah, so really the next step is hopefully government starting to think more broadly about punishment options, recognising that there's a legitimate role for tough on crime, particularly for those violent offenders, but making sure that we don't push it to a degree that starts wasting taxpayers' funds. Mm. And then also trialling alternatives. One of the pretty scary things in this space is that there's been literally hundreds of alternatives to prison tried in Australia and around the world, but very, very few of them have had the sort of evidence collected so that we know if they work or they don't work. Mm. And there's been some trials. If you're as old as I am, you might remember the old Scared Straight program they had in the US, which was trying to expose young offenders to more serious violent offenders who are in jail, hopefully showing them the sort of future that could occur if they don't change their pattern. Mm. That's an example of a program which was actually found to increase criminalisation rather than decrease it.
Okay.
So, so we've got to be careful in this area. We have to try all these things, make sure that they're working, not making sure that we don't want things to get worse. Mm. But then once we've got evidence-based alternatives, and there's some already, but we need a lot more evidence, bringing them into play. Things like home detention with electronic monitoring, supervision, putting programs around that, they have been shown, for example, in South Australia to work.
Mm-hmm. And being introduced for COVID home quarantine in some cases, as well. So if it works for COVID quarantine, hopefully it will be adopted for low-risk offenders. I mean, is it, though, the case that tough on crime works politically? And so how likely are any government of any stripe really going to go down this path of a realistic, sensible, cost-effective path? But politically, does it work? Does it wash?
Yeah, and obviously there's can be sometimes short-term political benefits of being tough on crime. But as a Melburnian who has been under home detention, unlike the folks in Cairns,
that's right.
What we're really pointing out here is that governments are coming out of COVID with a lot of debt, which is going to have to be paid off somehow. here is a way that, you know, we're not going to pay off all the debt, but we can save some, in the short term, millions, in the long term, billions of dollars by thinking differently. And so, for example, just a 1% gain here. Let's say we just had 1% of those low-risk offenders diverted to an alternative such as community corrections orders, home detention. That by itself would save about $45 million a year. And, you know,
1%, a 1% difference, $45 million per year.
Yeah. So, you know, coming out of COVID, governments are going to need to find extra sources of revenue, and here's one that's staring them in the face.
Fascinating stuff. I encourage listeners to Google that report, Productivity Commission, imprisonment rates in Australia. Really, really interesting stuff, important stuff. And let's just hope that politicians of all stripes have the bandwidth and the will to dig into that report. And let's start, as you said, make it evidence-based. You know, let's record the results for good or bad. But absolutely, let's look at introducing some of those reforms. We can't keep building prisons bigger and bigger at the cost of billions of dollars. Commissioner Stephen King from the Productivity Commission, thanks for your time on the King Review today.
Thank you, Gavin.